the famous and beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan. We know this story. First of all, there's the terrible tragedy of senseless violence against an innocent victim. And we know that such attacks happen every day. They're in the news. Then there's the horrible failure of the religious figures, the priest and the Levite, who do nothing for the victim. The first ones on the scene are not first responders. They are unresponsive bystanders. And then the surprise of the parable, the one who helps the victim is the one person whom we would least expect, the Samaritan of all people, the enemy, the outcast, someone that the victim himself would probably have avoided. But this is the one who cares for him. So we know this story, but we should recall why Jesus told this parable. It was in response to the question from the legal scribe who said, "Who is my neighbor?" You say I should love my neighbor as myself, fine, but who is my neighbor? Who is this unknown person I am supposed to love? And there's an unspoken parallel question, who therefore is not my neighbor? Where do I draw the line between neighbor and not neighbor? Once we think about it, and once we realize this unspoken implication, we realize it's the wrong question. It's the wrong question because it implies immediately a limit to love, a distinction between who we must love and whom we can exclude from our love. Wrong question. Jesus does not exclude anyone from his love, and so he doesn't give us this excuse either, doesn't give us a way out from love of neighbor. And this is part of the brilliance of the parable. Notice what Jesus says at the end. He too asks a question. Remember that the scholar of the law asked, who is my neighbor? Jesus asks the question. He doesn't say, who is your neighbor at the end of the parable? Not who is your neighbor? Because if he had asked that, anyone would immediately respond, well, the victim, the poor victim, he's the neighbor. But Jesus says rather, which of these three was neighbor to the victim of the robbers? Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan? As if he's saying, don't ask who is my neighbor, ask the more challenging and the more important question, am I a true neighbor to others? Am I a neighbor to those in need? And this scholar of the law, he does not miss the point. In answering Jesus' question, he can't bring himself to mention the word Samaritan. It was almost unspeakable. But he acknowledges that the one who was neighbor to the victim is the one who treated him with mercy. So being a neighbor is not a matter of how much we have or how much we give. It's a matter of treating others with mercy. The priest and the Levite, perhaps they had no money. Perhaps they had no oil or wine to treat the man's wounds. Maybe they didn't have an animal to put the victim on and take him to an inn. Maybe they said to themselves, there's nothing I can do. Shrug their shoulders, say, let someone else take care of him. Let some rich people take care of him. I'm busy, or I'm helpless. The real problem was not that they could do nothing. The real problem was that their hearts were not moved by the suffering of the man. They saw the victim with their eyes, but not with their heart. The Samaritan, on the other hand, who with his eyes could see an enemy, with his heart saw a man in need. The Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. Compassion, mercy. If we have that, then we can be neighbor to others. And if we don't have compassion, if we don't have mercy, then we can't be a neighbor to anybody. We are closed in on ourselves. So the Samaritan treated the man with mercy, and Jesus concludes the parable with the command, go and do likewise. So the first point, my reflection here, is the obvious one. Be like the Good Samaritan. Go and do likewise. Be a Good Samaritan to those who need you. The second point is not as obvious, but this is something that the fathers of the church would sometimes say in pondering this parable. In our journey of life, very often it is we ourselves who are represented by the victim in the parable. I'm not talking about the attitude of self-pity, oh, what a victim I am, focusing on my suffering all the time, or thinking only of my suffering. No. But sometimes the hardships of life and the injustices of the world really can beat us down. That's certainly true. And everyone knows it. I'm sure there are people sitting in the church right now who really feel like that victim in the parable. As we journey through this valley of tears, we can find ourselves deceived, burdened, depressed, afraid, mistreated, robbed, exploited, what, abused, neglected, infected, addicted. We might not be lying half naked and half dead on the side of the road. None of us is right now. We're all sitting in an air-conditioned church. There's no blood. No one can see our wounds, their interior. We might even be smiling. Maybe on our social media, we look great. But that's only a facade. Now, when we're feeling beaten down, when we're feeling defeated or abandoned, who comes along the road to help us? Sadly, we can experience people walking right by us. People whom we thought would be on our side when we were in trouble or in need don't help us. The government doesn't help us. The church doesn't help us. Our relatives don't help us. At least that's what we experience. Every priest and Levite walks by, doesn't even acknowledge that they know us. They act as if they don't even see us. Many times people have complained to me about their experience of the church. They went to the parish, they went to a priest, they or a relative or a friend had a need, they went to a priest, and the priest ignored them. Or the priest said, I'm too busy to help you, or I won't do what you're asking. And it might have happened 25 years ago, but they're still offended by that. Someone representing the church walked by and didn't, and was not a neighbor to a person in need. That sort of thing, if you think about it, is when people who could and should help us but don't, sometimes that's more painful than the original wound we experience. Well, where's the Good Samaritan? Who is the Good Samaritan? Sometimes people that we don't expect at all come and help us. That's a beautiful experience of God's mercy through unexpected friends. But even more important, and this is the point that the fathers of the church make, even more important, the real Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ himself. This parable ultimately points to Jesus. In fact, he's better than the Good Samaritan. Jesus doesn't simply happen to be traveling down our road. Jesus deliberately came into the world precisely for this thing, to save us, to treat our wounds. Jesus doesn't bathe our wounds with oil and wine, but with the sacraments which those elements symbolize. Jesus doesn't pull out two silver coins to pay for our care. He gives himself. He pours out his own life. He pours out his own body and blood for our salvation. So he gives more than the Good Samaritan. He gives as much as he can, even to the point of dying, so that we can live. So So no matter who might attack us, or who might neglect us, or who might walk past us and ignore us in our need, there's always one person on whom we can confidently rely with absolute certainty, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. You could almost say, Jesus doesn't love his neighbor as himself. He loves us more than himself. And that's the good news and the challenge. Because since this is how Jesus loves us, he says to all of us, go and do likewise.